What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lamb Meat. No, I'm your host, Angel Lamb. Today I'm sitting with Luis Antonio Pinchardo and Jeremy Arias. They're members of Distill Arts, a 501c3 nonprofit art mentorship organization that inspires, teaches, and hires emerging artists from underserved communities. They're based out of LA. They achieve their mission through multiple programs and services that inspires people all ages in their community, and they empower them to be artists they know themselves to be. Their acronym, Distill Arts, DSTL, stands for Develop Skills and Transcend Limits, which they believe could be done through art. So I'm very happy to have them on because Luis is actually the founder and creator of Distill Arts, and you know, I'm happy to have him on and have Jeremy on. Jeremy is a mentee, I guess. Luis mentors him to pretty much bring out the talent that he knows Jeremy has. He's actually done things like he works on the zines, but on top of that, he's done novels. He's worked on his own novel, and currently he's writing some scripts. So best of luck to Jeremy, and hopefully I have him on once he comes up with the stories, and you know, he writes my character. Obviously I have him on and we'll talk about it, we'll talk some more. But today we're gonna focus more on the program itself, and we're gonna talk about it. We're gonna find out why Luis created it, how long has it been running, and how you guys could pretty much join, you know. And I believe that this is a program that all of you guys should take advantage of, because I know I see you guys on Instagram and I hear you guys, and you guys are, you know, you guys, some of you guys have been writing for a while but are just posting your guys' stuff on Instagram, and it's all good. But there's other people outside that might not have social media, that are readers, that might be able to take advantage of your work and might be able to be inspired by it. You never know who you're gonna touch and how you're gonna touch them, and not in the physical way, but the emotional, what impact you have through your writing. So you know, I highly recommend you guys go and take advantage of these programs, because they, like I said, they're free. You don't have to worry about anything, maybe materials, but I believe that Luis provides all that. And he helps you through the process of making your own zine. And they have mentors. So if you don't know what you're doing, there's always someone there that will help you and will guide you to get to whatever goal that is that you want to get into. So Conchas y Café, the adult creative written class, they offer that at Baldwin Hills, the Baldwin Hills Branch Library, Burnin Branch Library, and East LA Library. Also, if you want to take advantage of the Art Block Zine program, this one's going to be offered at Baldwin Hills Branch. It's going to be a monthly. It's every third Thursday of the month. Starts at 4. It's a free event, and it's for all ages. All this information, you can find it at dstlarts.org. Send them an email. They're doing great things. Take advantage of it. So today, you know, I'm recording a little late. I'm sorry about that, but you know, I've just been super busy. I recorded 3 episodes this week. I had a lot of fun. The only problem is the editing part. Mostly because of me. Something about this episode. I have to apologize because of the sound. I think the AC was on at the library, and you know, it's just some stuff that I can't control. I know I got used to it after a while. I don't know how to fix it. You know, if you guys know how to fix it, send me an email, send me a DM, contact me somehow. That way I can know how to get rid of that sound. I don't know if this is something you guys want, but if you guys want to be shattered out on the intro, I'm all for it. Send me a DM, I'll do it. And please, you know, after you hear this episode, make sure you send me some questions, because next week is going to be the Solo Bolo episode, and I want to get started. I want to get ready. And you know, I don't know if you guys have any topics, if you guys have any questions. I was thinking of doing it on sex, and how we don't really talk about it to our kids. So if that's something that you want me to talk about, let me know. If you have a better topic, send me a DM, email me, just contact me somehow. A reminder, I have stickers. They're completely free. There's two versions. The OG, the regular, the one that you see everywhere. That one's free. Just send me your address. I'll send it to you. Also, I have the ice cream, the sundae logo. That's going to be on a donation basis. So, just send me $1. Send me whatever you want, 50 cents. And I'll send it to you. I do want to tell you guys, I have a Patreon. I know I haven't been putting it out there, but I have a Patreon. And let me tell you a little bit about the levels. So, the first level is $1. So, for $1, you get a shout out. The next level is $3. For that one, you get a sticker, the sticker, the ice cream sticker, and you get yourself a shout out. And you get to choose how I close the show. For $7, you get all of that. And you get to play sevens. You might get the high score. And if you get the high score, you may get that prize at the end of the year, that big prize. And for $20, you get yourself a hat. You get to close out the show. You get to play sevens. You get yourself a sticker. And you get yourself a shout out. So if you guys are interested, go to patreon.com/letmeknowpod. I have merch. You guys know I have merch. I have hats. I have t-shirts. T-shirts are $10 now. $10. I only have limited sizes. So if you're interested, let me know. I'll send it your way for $10. I have hats. My hats right now, they're 15. So if you want a hat, like I said, let me know. So I got three versions. I got the neon, the OG, and the sundae. So if you guys are interested, go to my Instagram. I have pictures there. Or if you want me to send you one directly, send me an email or send me a direct message on Instagram and Facebook. Just look up Let Me Know Pod on Instagram and Facebook or email me at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. All right, guys. Well, this is a lot of talking. Hope you guys enjoy the song. Hopefully you guys send me an email, send me a message. Tell me what you think of the show, and please send me some questions for next week's Solo Bolo.
You know, today I just woke up and I like said, this. No, instead of waiting on a good day, waiting around through ups and downs, waiting on something to happen, I just said, that's right.
And all these mommies look fly today. And all we wanna do is get by today. Hey, we're gonna have a good day. And ain't nobody gotta cry today. Cause ain't nobody gonna die today. Save that trouble for another day. Hey, we're gonna have a good
Red
day.
Line fresh, new cologne on. Feeling so good, change the colors to my phone. Orange Kool-Aid go good with Patron. Oh no, hell no, boy. Still my ringtone, free car wash. Had to clean up the Dodge. Get back when I can, just playing my part. Church folks had a fish fry, mustard, hot sauce, light bread, french fries. Love for the big guy, hit the park. Boy showing off the hops, nappy roots on the radio. And you know what about last night, hit the pick three. Bought some Air Force Ones, four tall tees. Man, I'm loving BG.
children sing. Take the day off, hit the park and just hang. Barbecue, roll a few and put up the deuce. And if it's beef, put the piece down, throw up the dukes. It's time to change our ways so we can save the day. For the children's sake and make a better place to play. And if it's all good, break out your coupe and grip your wood. And if you're riding dirty, light your spliff and blow your... But do it real big, exactly like a player should. Enjoy your 24, do your thing and rep your hood. The world is all yours, but still we all grind. Forever in a day, the choice you make is really all fine.
What's up, guys? Welcome back. Another episode. I know you guys missed me. I missed you guys too. That's kind of considering myself, like, of me telling you miss me. But it's all good. You guys know me. I'm full of myself. But anyways, nothing about me. Today I'm sitting with Luis Antonio Pichardo and Jeremy Arias. Yeah. They're members of DSL Arts, a 501 nonprofit art membership organization that inspires, teaches, and hires emerging artists from underserved communities.
Yeah,
what an intro, baby. Right?
Yeah.
Distill Arts?
Yeah, Distill Arts. For most people, that's actually a little bit easier to remember, you know, but it is DSTL Arts.
Okay, well, tell me what DSTL means. What is that? Yeah. That's an acronym, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, it's an acronym. Actually, almost 6 years ago now, when I started Distill Arts, with my partner, we were trying to actually come up with a name that sort of reflected the mission of our organization. And the word distill, like, you know, distilling things down to their essence, that felt like it was what we were really trying to do with the emerging artists that we were working with. And but we also recognize that the word distill sometimes for some people sounds a little bit like a distillery.
Yeah.
You know, and so that could maybe make people think more like alcohol, you know, so that's not what we were going for. So we dropped the vowels and just left it DSTL. Uh-huh. So DSTL itself is, like you said, it's an acronym and it stands for Develop Skills and Transcend Limits Through the Arts.
All right.
So that's kind of like the background behind the name. But just in general, we tell people, just call us Distill Arts.
Well, I mean, I like to say the letters because, well, you kept telling me Distill Arts and I didn't get the hint, but I don't know. I guess I want people to know the acronym and then maybe I'll remember it and I'll call it Distill Arts from now on. Maybe.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. But, you know, before I start every episode, I like to ask my guests how their day is.
Doing good. Had work this morning, not too bad. Yeah. Pretty good shift. Yeah.
Like, what do? You don't have to tell me where you work. You don't even have to tell me if you don't want to. It's an option.
No, I'm actually a baker, part-time baker for a coffee shop.
Oh, tight.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
It's really good. It's really awesome getting to wake up and just go start making pastries, you know, and then a few hours later it starts to smell like coffee, you know, you get to see everybody come in and out, you know, it's really nice.
Is it like a Starbucks chain or like a panaderia type of bakery?
It's more like a mom and pop shop, kind of
okay.
Like,
yeah. How long have you been doing that?
A few months already. Yeah, started cool. Back in November, I think.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I love pan, so hopefully, like, next time you're there, remember to shoot me some, man.
Yeah.
I'll give my address out there, don't get you. You could mail it, email it, I don't care, as long as you get it my way.
I'll FedEx you some croissants.
There you go. UPS, they're my friends. I'm always mailing stickers and stuff, so
nice.
Just let them know that who you want to send it to, and right away they'll know it's me. Show them the sticker, the Let Me Know sticker, they'll go. All
right.
I'm just playing, don't do that. They'll look at you crazy.
I'll just put it on the shipping address.
There you go. Alright, well, you know what, like, why don't you...
What can Brown do for you?
Hey. So, tell me a little bit about you guys yourself. Like, what's your role in Distill Arts?
Well, me, I started off Distill Arts as a mentee. I was just being mentored and writing. prior to Distill Arts, I hadn't really finished writing pretty much anything except for a few short stories. And after this, after enrolling in Distill Arts, I was a mentee with them. Luis here was actually my mentor, and it was really nice being able to have the encouragement and support needed to go as far as writing a full novel and actually publishing it. So it was really nice getting to put some of my own work out there. It was my first time publishing or even being a part of an art program like this, so it was definitely a really big learning experience, and I know that there's a lot of people that can also benefit from it.
So, like, well, what do you like writing? Like, fiction, nonfiction? Like, what's your...
I do a lot of fiction, mostly fiction, just because I feel like I really can't do nonfiction yet, aside from, like, stories about my life and stuff. So, I like to stick on fiction, stay close to reality, you know, so...
And, like, can you tell us the name of the project that you're working on, or that you already worked, or I don't know? How far are you still doing it, or are you done with,
In terms of writing right now, I'm kind of taking a break on that. I got into screenplays and writing scripts and stuff. But my first book that I published is called Like Many Others. It's a short novel. I really enjoyed writing it, and I know from the people who have read it, they really enjoyed it as well. And it's really good seeing your work get out there and, you know, tying a message to a story and just watching it get out there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully you could shoot it my way. I'd love to read it.
Yeah, definitely.
And Luis, I mean, tell me about your role. You're the creator of Distill Arts, pretty much. This is like your baby, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you could call it my baby for sure. Right. You know, I started Distill Arts about 6 years ago in 2012, actually the end of 2012. I had actually been hospitalized in 2012 with some stomach pain, and there was a little bit of actually a cancer scare. Most people actually don't know this. You're actually the first person that publicly knows this.
Oh, man.
It was a little bit of a cancer scare, and, you know, eventually everything worked out okay.
That's
and
good.
You know, I'm fine, but I had actually moved to LA like about back in 2008, and 10 years ago now. So, well, yeah, 10 and a half years ago. And I moved here to earn my Master in the Fine Arts degree from Cal Arts. And my initial plan was actually to earn my master's degree and then return to San Diego, where I'm originally from, and start my nonprofit down there. But, you know, I fell in love here, you know, and ended up just staying, you know. And eventually I realized too that LA is actually a thriving capital in the arts, you know, and there's a lot more support for artists here than there are back home. And so my idea of creating a nonprofit that was arts-based, that supported artists and that also taught people how to actually find jobs in the arts, it just made more sense to do it here. And so Distill Arts came about because of my experience working in the arts industry and the nonprofit world, and also because of the really bad experience that I had at Cal Arts itself as a mentee. Through the supposed mentorship that happens during the MFA program. It had a really profound impact on me, you know? And so when I really started thinking about how I wanted the mentorship program to start, it really mattered to me that it be something that is very genuine and very, very customized and tailored to the individual artists. Jeremy is actually part of the second wave of mentees that I started working with at the time. And Jeremy, as a young writer, I recognized he had a lot of talent. And thanks to my partner, who also is the co-founder, Jennifer, you know, I was able to meet Jeremy at his school when we tried to do an in-school version of our mentorship program. And I started working with him on developing his short stories, and that's when Like Many Others came about. That's his first novella that we actually published as kind of like a chapbook. It looks a lot like a zine, you know. It's when before we started doing things a little bit more refined like we're doing them now. But yeah, as basically the one man show for Distill Arts, you know, I'm the one that develops all of our lessons for our Conchas y Café program. I started off being the only one teaching our art block zine workshops, but now Jeremy, you know, I've been able to, you know, thanks to the support of different funders, I've been able to actually hire Jeremy as the associate editor for the art block zine. And now he's helping me teach some of the workshops, as well as giving some of the editorial direction for the zine that is called Art Block. And also the artistic zine is one of the new zines that we have that's going to be coming out pretty soon that we're hoping to get more submissions to, along with Art Block.
So, I mean, you kind of get in ahead of myself. I was going to ask you all that, but pretty much got rid of it from the start.
Well, you know, we'll get front load.
Yeah, we'll get into it in a little bit about that. But, like, it started off in school, right? Or how did it start? Is that how it started?
Well, the idea I had already, like, well before when I was in San Diego. You know, I wanted to have a nonprofit that actually showcased artwork by people of color. Just because, I mean, especially where I'm from, but even here in LA, you know, it's really difficult as an artist to get your voice heard, especially if you're a person of color. And, you know, having venues that could actually host you and give you opportunities to showcase your artwork, that's something that I really wanted to do. Unfortunately, you know, being of the socioeconomic class that I'm a part of, you know, I don't have a lot of funding to be able to go and just, you know, open up a gallery space and all of that. That doesn't mean that it's not going to happen in the future. It just means, you know, I have to build up to it, right?
Yeah.
But you know, as a poet myself, and as a person that really values books and publishing, Distill Arts, when I first started it back in 2012. I kind of knew that zine making was going to be one of those things that really helped us get started in giving people a voice and having an organization that could be a publishing company too. I always, you know, pictured it being something that would really support emerging artists like myself, you know, in poetry and short story writing, you know, any form of visual art too that could be put into a book, like comics, artist books, you know, that kind of thing. It all just sort of just seemed to fit within the zine world and the self-publishing world. In 2012, I was already graduated from CalArts. I graduated in 2010. So,
like your MFA, right?
Yeah, with my master's.
It was like in poetry, or what was it in?
Yeah, well, in CalArts, they call it critical studies, but it's basically poetry. I mean, you know.
How did you get into poetry? Like, was that like something that you always loved since you were a child, or?
Yeah, well, art in general is something that I've always loved since I was a kid. I was like 5 years old, and my mom, to keep me quiet, you know, while she did laundry and chores and stuff, she used to buy basically just blank notepads, you know, and coloring books for me. And she was like, here, cállate, you know, ponte a hacer algo. And so there I was, you know, drawing at about the age of five, and just always drawing constantly. And growing up where I grew up, you know, and I call it the hood, you know, it basically led to me getting into like graffiti and you know, hip hop in general just changed my life, especially like, when I was in high school.
Were you like popping and all that? Like,
I wish I could, man. I never could quite like master the b-boy, but, yeah. But definitely, you know, I was into graffiti and DJing and you know, music in general. And poetry came about because when I was in high school, I genuinely wanted to be a rapper. You know, so I started off with rhyme books, you know, and writing raps and stuff was kind of fun and all, but as I got a little bit older and more into underground hip-hop specifically, I really started to recognize the connection between poetry and spoken word with hip-hop and rapping. And so when I graduated from high school, I didn't actually have plans to go to college. For me, college was something that was unattainable. But thanks to my mom, actually, she kind of tricked me into going to community college. And I remember sitting there in my very first day when I was enrolling at community college and being like, well, I could either major in art because, you know, I love art, right? Like, I've been, like I said, drawing since I was five. And when I was younger, I used to think, oh, I want to be a comic book artist. And, you know, like, most people of color, you know, if you don't have the access to you know, or awareness that it can be a career for people,
yeah,
you know, and you have your family and friends being like, oh, you're never going to make it as an artist, you know, you're not going to make a living.
Unfortunately, yeah.
Yeah, you know, that's obviously, you know, the background that I have. So, so at that age, at basically Jeremy's age, you know, I was really discouraged by that. So I figured, well, my English teacher had a really profound impact on me when I was in high school. And being a writer and poet at the time, you know, thinking of myself as a poet and rapper, I was like, well, you know, I would actually like to really develop my writing skills. And so I figured I could either major in English then, you know, and always fall back on teaching, you know, like most people do, right? Yeah. That's what they think. Oh, teaching is a fallback profession.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is not, you know, it's definitely a very honorable one, but
yeah, yeah.
But that I sort of knew early on, like that wasn't, at least within the educational system, that wasn't for me. But that's what actually got me into writing. And eventually my bachelor's degree, I earned that in writing, specifically in writing, at Cal State San Marcos.
I don't know where that's at, but it sounds very, very prestige.
You know, it's a Cal State. It's at my local Cal State in North San Diego County.
All right.
And yeah, it's a good school, right? Yeah. But like, you know, my best educational experience was actually at my community college.
Okay.
Palomar College.
So like the basics, that's pretty much the fundamental, man. Right there.
Right. Yeah, that's my foundation there, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I mean, so like, what are some of the things you talk about in your like poetry?
As a poet, I mean, in the last couple of years, it's been actually a lot of love poetry. And also just in general, when I write poetry, I usually, it does explore a lot of identity, you know, so I'll be writing in Spanglish, you know, flipping back and forth, code switching, as we call it, between English and Spanish. I write about everyday life, you know, things that are sometimes political in nature, things that are relevant to people of color. I've written poetry about gentrification. I've written poetry about homelessness and the impact that, you know, we can have potentially as individuals on our community and you know, work that's in some ways trying to push people to really think about our humanity. You know, that's really, to me, love poetry can be like that. You know, one of my favorite poets is Pablo Neruda. And Pablo Neruda, he's known as one of the greatest love poets in poetry, period. And a lot of his work is actually political in nature. So yeah, that's sort of who I kind of aspire to be like. You know, I'm not trying to be Pablo Neruda, but
everybody's trying to have their own voice and put out their own message out there. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. Yeah. So I mean, let's talk to Jeremy for a little bit, because he's over here. Hello. He needs my attention. Okay. I see you.
I'm still here.
Nah, yeah. So I mean, what attracted you to distill arts? Like he mentioned that he pretty much scooped you up when you were in high school, right?
Yeah, I was in my English 11. I was in my junior year of high school in my English class. I wasn't able to get into the AP class, so I was in like the standard English class, the Common Core stuff that they had. So I was there, and you know, I was a writer at the time. I was pretty good with English. I was always reading, so I was finishing assignments early, and I was just sitting there. You know, I was in a class full of, you know, students that were trying to catch up, and I was pretty much ahead of the game. So I would start writing on my free time, and after a while, my teacher, Ms. Fuentes, had noticed that. Jenny, she had noticed it, and that's when she had told me about Distill Arts, and I pretty much got involved with it soon after. Later on, like when I was in the writing process of my story, that's actually what I began to focus on during my free time in class. So it was pretty cool being able to just write in class after I finished everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. So right now, are you attending college? Are you pursuing like any degree?
Yeah, I'm thinking of going into either journalism or somewhere with playwriting or screen. Scripts. But yeah, in terms of that, I'm going to community college right now so I can transfer into a Cal State and then work my way up from there.
Alright. So like, where are you thinking of right now?
I'm thinking of Cal State LA since it's close by, but I'll see once I'm able to transfer out, see if I can expand somewhere else.
Yeah, like I was gonna attend Cal State LA myself, but yeah. from where I live, it's quite a drive, and our graveyard didn't have a tendency to fall asleep while I'm driving.
Oh, that's
dangerous. I think it was the smartest thing, driving an hour just in traffic, you know, all sleepy. But it's a great school. I mean, yeah. Highly recommend going there. Like, I was you were talking about teaching, like, you're a teacher, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, ultimately, yeah, I am now a teacher.
So, like, I was going to go for teaching myself, but when you mentioned, like, the fallback, like, I had that mentality, like, when I was, because I was going to Southwest, and the whole time I was like, man, like, I want to do radio, or I want to do comedy, like, but then eventually I want to get into radio, but I was like, I want to do comedy, but you know what, like, let me go be a teacher, and that'd be my, like, if it doesn't, like, if I fail at that, then at least I could go, like, teach somewhere, you know?
Right.
I had that mentality myself, but then once I got to, like, to that point where, like, okay, well, I'm gonna get my BS now, right? I really thought about it, and I was like, you know what, like, that shouldn't be the mentality I should go into it, you know? Like, I should want to be helped, like, I want to help these students, like, the people, the people that I'm gonna have in my life, like, that are gonna learn from me. So, like, then I decided, you know what, like, since I don't have the right mentality, I probably shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's great. I mean, that you eventually, like, you are a teacher right now. Yeah. You're mentoring all these different, like, I mean, is there a specific age group that, like, that are part of this?
Yeah, well, the mentorship program itself, when we first started it, it was ages 16 to 21 only. But, you know, after having started our Conchas y Café program, which is for adults, I came to realize, oh, you know, mentorship actually happens across the board, whether, you know, you're a young adult or a, you know, full grown adult, right? Like, mentorship is important for everybody at all stages of life. And so now our mentorship program is open from ages 16 and older. The oldest mentees that we've had, actually, when we started piloting the program for adults, were actually 70 years old. So, you know, we definitely have everybody from pretty much every stage of life, whether they be ages, like I said, 16, in their early 20s, college age, mid 30s, 40s, up to, like I said, now seniors too. So our mentorship program has really expanded over the last year and a half or so. And the Conchas y Café program, that one, like I said, it's specifically a creative writing class for adults. And some of our mentees, new mentees, have actually come out of that particular workshop.
So, well, tell me a little bit more about it. Like, is there, like, specific type of writing that you have to do? Or is this, like, is this just a space for people to come and write about whatever they want?
It's kind of that. The Conchas y Café program actually started off as a way of engaging the parents of the mentees that were originally in the program. So from there, it then expanded into being open to the community, and really now it's become this zine where we're publishing on a quarterly basis, soon to be trimester basis in the new program year. And that program, it's kind of like a sort of like an entry point for some of our adults to kind of get back into writing. You know, a lot of them have actually, for whatever reason, you know, some of them were really eager to be writers when they were younger, and they sort of, you know, life happened, and so they stepped away from it, but are now returning back to it. For some of them, it's a way for them to learn how to express themselves better. It just sort of depends on the individual. But it's open to basically all adults, and it's structured in a way so that I teach them poetry, and I teach them other writing techniques and certain critical theories that I learned when I was in college. And through that, I get people to really explore things that are about identity and form and poetry. And then we publish a zine, like I said. You know, at the end of every publishing cycle, every 10 weeks, we have a zine, and it's basically the compilation of all the work that people have put together through from the three different locations where the Conchas y Café classes are offered. And the Conchas y Café classes themselves, you know, I also, aside from teaching poetry and how to write, I also teach people about zine making and, you know, how to make their own zines. And I also get into self-publishing and how you can actually begin publishing your own work. Because, you know, it's about accessibility. You know, it's if you're not aware that it's possible to use, you know, say like a publish on demand, a print on demand service, you know, to put a book out, you're not going to do it. You know? And a lot of the people that come to my workshops, that's what they really want. They want to know, how can I get my work out there? How can I tell my story? And to me, I really value that, you know. So through the mentorship program and like working with Jeremy, to the Conchas y Café classes or the art block zine workshops, and the artist residency workshops that we also teach, like every single one of our programs is really about getting people to tell their story, because if we don't tell it for ourselves, nobody's gonna come and be like, oh hey, you know, I wanna record you.
Yeah, I mean, I have some friends, like, they think that they're like, my kids are gonna tell my story. Like, why are you waiting for your kids to tell your story? Why? I mean, yeah, you're here, you're alive right now, like, why don't you tell your story? That way your kids can read about it, you know,
and nobody can tell your story like you. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's on you to be there and record it and document it, you know, because somebody might change it for you if you wait on them to do it for you. You know, one of the things that I always tell our participants, you know, it's not so much about lying or anything like that. It's about just being honest, you know, and sometimes honesty can be a little painful too. You know, it can be challenging and maybe even intimidating. So I recognize that, but I always try to really encourage people that vulnerability that you show when you're writing and being honest about your experience, whether that be through poetry or short stories or nonfiction work, all of that is what makes us human. Yeah. And it's what actually connects us. You know, if more people were honest and vulnerable with each other, then we may actually be able to get along better.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of people, that's where they put the importance, like image and how people are going to see you.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you need to put like your guard down a little bit so people can relate to you, you know? Yeah. Like me, like, I know who I am, and I like to put it out there. Like, I'm not the smartest person, but I don't pretend to be. I like all these interviews are just for me to a way for myself to learn about others and about myself sometimes, you know? There's been episodes, like, I think to myself, like, man, how would I, like, if I was in this person's shoes, like, how would I go about it? Like, I have people with addiction, depression, all this stuff. Yeah. And sometimes I like to put myself in their shoes. And that's very important. Like, be able to tell your story. That, because eventually people are going to read it. Mm-hmm. And then maybe they're going through something. And then themselves could get out of whatever they're in. So,
yeah.
That's awesome that you're doing that for, like, people that might have thought it was too late, you know. And you're providing that service for them.
Yeah. I never really intended Distill Arts to be like my thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I've told my participants recently a lot more that, you know, the programs aren't about me.
Oh, yeah.
You know, none of this is about me. Yeah. It's about them.
Yeah, you know? Got the education already on your belt, pretty much.
Yeah, you know, and I'm just really just trying to, you know, spread my knowledge and spread my wealth, you know?
I mean, I feel like you're doing a great thing because not a lot of people have the money to go to, like, schooling to be able to learn all this stuff.
Yeah.
You're kind of giving them, like, the little tips. Like, I went to school. I learned it. So, like you said, like, Cal Arts wasn't the best, like, place to be a mentor. You know, like, to get mentored. And then you're providing, like, you know what, like, you don't have to go to these big name schools. Like, I'll teach you the fundamentals and, like, the basics and then do what you want with them. But at least you're providing that service. And that's awesome, you know?
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Jeremy, I know you're looking at me like.
Yeah.
So I mean, I know you said you were in charge of the art blog zine, right?
I am the associate editor.
Tell me what an associate editor is, because I don't know. Like, just tell me what you do. Don't give me titles.
All right. Well, I am somebody else's assistant basically, but I do some things as well. As Luis had mentioned earlier, we do our zine workshops, and I help teach a few of those. It's really nice, you know, being able to go out. We visit other branches of libraries, and from there we run the workshops on zine making, you know. So it's kind of like a teaching experience almost. We do see a lot of children, I guess, because it's a public library, and that's where, you know, kids sometimes are, you know, after school and whatnot. And it's really nice seeing some of these students or children come in and, you know, you show them how to, you know, make a zine. They have a blank book in front of them, and then they start putting stuff together, you know, like seeing some of the students and people that come in, you know, they start drawing or writing, and you're just thinking, wow, I didn't think, you know, someone this young could be doing something like that, you know, and they start talking about how they like to draw and what they're doing with it, you know, so it's pretty inspiring doing that. And aside from that, we also run the art blog zine itself, which we collect submissions and, well, yeah, pretty much submissions from people all over LA to, you know, submit into this zine, where we have a kind of like a theme to submit with. This last one that we had was on individuality, so we started seeing a lot of different personalities come together, and we're putting them together in a zine. It's, you know, it's a work in progress right now, but it's really exciting seeing what a whole collective group of people will make and submit, and then you're just putting one zine together with all this work. It's,
is this like online, or is it like paperback, or how is it published?
Well, the zine itself is, we set it up as like the chapbook format almost, kind of type.
It's a paperback. You could think of it like a paperback book. The new one, the new issue of Art Block, is actually going to be an actual magazine format. So it'll look and feel more like an actual magazine this time around.
All right. So like, how can people get that? Like, just through your, Distill Arts, or is it part of that Conchas? Like, I know you mentioned like Conchas and Café. You guys do like a zine, like a thick one. Is it part of it, or is it its own separate thing?
Art Block is its own separate thing, so it's gonna, you know, have a magazine format. It's gonna be, it'll be available through our website as well as at zine fests. When we go to different events and stuff like that, we'll be selling it there. We do consign some of our books and zines to some small bookstores too. So, just, you know, depends on your local area whether or not you'll be able to find it. And the Conchas y Café zine, that one is its own separate zine as well. And that one, excuse me, that one, we publish it, like I said, on a quarterly basis, and it's a 5x8 paperback size. Okay. So it looks different. It's going to look more like an actual book. And then Artistic, the new zine that we're putting together, that Melina, one of your past guests, she's the editor-in-chief of, Artistic is also going to be a zine that'll have the magazine format. And that one, it's specific to individuals with autism and their family members, their direct family members.
Jerry, I'm telling you, you're getting ahead of me, dude.
Hey, bro.
But I'm still want to get to know Jeremy real quick.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, like coming to Distill Arts, like, how do you feel it has helped you or shaped you, like being in this program?
Well, I feel like I've definitely grown. I can see a lot of growth in the stuff that I write, and even like nowadays when I read, I notice that I even read different, kind of looking for the things the authors throw in there and whatnot. Yeah, I'd say I feel like I've had a lot of growth in terms of my writing, and not only that, but there's just a lot of other things that come with being in a program like this in terms of being professional and, you know, yeah, I mean, that's
I mean,
there's just a lot of growth from there. Just, I can see my writing improving as well as others, and it
was it like a drastic change from like obviously you've been learning a lot.
Yeah.
So like, was it like, have you seen yourself with now that you're writing scripts?
Yeah.
Like from like when you wrote your book, right? It was a book, a mag.
Yeah.
Right. So it was a book. From that book now to writing scripts, is it like a big like a difference? Or like, is it different? I don't even know how I want to ask this question.
Yeah. It was a gradual change, I would say, but I feel like it's kind of like I'm just using a different platform to tell a different story. You know, where writing a story like a novella kind of type is like if you just want to sit down and just read something, but I feel like with the script I'm able to send a more direct message, and maybe not direct message, but it's kind of like if it ever gets converted to something else, it can be, you know, used in different ways. You know, somebody else can put it into production, or, you know, I feel like just writing a script as to writing like a novella is just two different things, but it's definitely there, you know.
Yeah.
It's,
have you thought of ever doing it yourself? Like, I mean, now we have YouTube, like, get some of your pals that are also in this program.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've thought of it, but I mean, right now I'd like to finish writing one of the scripts and then see what I can do with it.
I'm not a good actor, but I'll be in it. I'll volunteer. You don't even gotta ask. I'm volunteering right now.
All right, I'll keep you in mind.
So like, what are some of the issues or the things that you write on your novelas or your scripts?
Well, one of the scripts that I'm writing right now is called Nothing Yet, and it's kind of like a modernized, I guess, it's kind of reflective of our political tension right now, where we have a president and we kind of see a lot of parallels to the beginning of World War II and the Holocaust and everything. There's just a lot of dehumanization going on right now. And right now the idea I'm playing with is, what if, you know, Donald Trump, or if, you know, whoever else these white supremacists become and can take charge of, you know, what would the world be like? You know, what if the Nazis had our technology, you know? So that's one of the things that I'm kind of playing with right now. I like to kind of see what and where humans will go in terms of either power or weakness. So that's one of the things I'm working on right now.
So how far along are you in that project? Like, are you in the just beginning stages?
I did my first draft for that one, and I'm planning on reshaping probably the second half of it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll be like a dead soldier if you want. I'm not a good actor, I just told you, right?
That's cool.
But just, I'll be in the background, like, painting a wah, or, like, building a wah. Hopefully not building a wah. All right. Well, I mean, since Luis wants to talk about all these different projects, well, I'm not going to give him the satisfaction of talking about autistic yet. We're going to talk about
fake news,
all right? Is that's another little program that you're running, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so No Fake News is actually the current Artist Residency Workshop series. We have a program called the Artist Residency Workshops, and I work with a lead artist who develops the program itself, the workshops. And this time around, my boy Abraham, he's the lead artist, and he's actually doing No Fake News. And No Fake News is based on this idea that, you know, we're going to teach people how to actually research for themselves information so that they can then turn around and tell the story that is factually correct. And the No Fake News workshops, they were happening during just before the elections, the past midterm elections at the Benjamin Franklin Branch Library in Boyle Heights. And we got a lot of work that was centered around gentrification, education, and people, the way that the arts have impacted them. And so that particular book, because out of that particular program, we actually publish anthologies. That book, it's also in the final stages of production, and we'll be releasing it actually towards the end of this month in preparation for the second series, the second version of No Fake News, which will also happen, hopefully, if the library is available to us at the Benjamin Franklin branch in Boyle Heights as well.
So how many branches are you working with? Maybe you can tell us which ones you're working with.
Yeah, so all of our programs, they're free, and they happen at public libraries. And the libraries that we're currently partnering with on a regular basis are the Baldwin Hills Branch Library, which is in the West Adams, Baldwin Hills area, kind of in mid-city. And then there's the Vernon Branch Library, which is in South Central, on South Central Avenue and 45th Street. Then there's the East LA Library, where we're recording right now. The East LA Library is the very first library that started hosting our programs. And then there's also the Arroyo Seco Regional Branch Library, which is located in Highland Park. They host only our Art Block Zine workshops. But, you know, hopefully we'll expand a little bit more.
Yeah.
Then there's also the Benjamin Franklin Branch Library.
What about San Diego? Earlier you were talking about how you wanted to take it over there.
Yeah, originally I wanted to expand my programs down there. I have actually gone to San Diego on several occasions and done workshops down there for like my old high school teacher. And then I have actually here in LA also provided zine making workshops in class for a couple of teachers at high schools and elementary schools too. So any teachers out there interested in doing a zine making workshop, just hit me up. We can make that happen. You know, if a teacher invites me in one time to do a standalone zine workshop, that's usually not a problem. You know, I provide all of the materials, all the paper, pencils, all of that stuff that our students would need to be able to create their own mini zine. And then for anybody that's, say, outside of the community, you know, that's not able to obviously participate during a school time, you know, they can come to one of the workshops, any of the libraries. Most of the programs are open all ages. with the exception of the Conchas y Café program. That one is specifically for adults.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Was it because of the themes or?
Themes, and then, you know, sometimes it's just easier for, like, say younger kids, you know, to express themselves outside of, you know, the supervision, quote unquote, of adults, you know. That's why I like the art block zine workshops. Those, you know, they're kind of like a standalone, anybody can come. It is open to all ages, although, like Jeremy said earlier, we do tend to see more younger kids and high schoolers to typically they'll be the ones that'll come and make their own zines with us during the art block zine workshops.
Is that the one that's offered here as well, or are all these programs available like on these different branches, like libraries?
They're available at different branches. Art block in particular happens at the Arroyo Seco branch library on the first Thursday of every month at 4 p.m. and then on the second Thursday of every month at the Vernon branch library in South Central, and that's usually at about 3:30 p.m. Or 4 p.m. And then the third Thursday of every month, it's at the Baldwin Hills Branch Library at 4 p.m. as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that one, again, you know, that one's open to all ages, and that one, you know, it's on a rotating basis. And then the Conchas y Café workshops, those are actually available at the Baldwin Hills Branch Library on Mondays from 12:30 to 2 p.m. And then on Monday nights at the Vernon Branch Library from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And on Tuesday nights at the East L.A. Library from 6 to 7:30 p.m.
And the East L.A., that's where we're at, and it's pretty nice.
It is.
I just come with, like, there's, like, a little pond or...
Yeah.
So, I mean, come, I'll bet you if you do come, you'll get inspired just by that. Just chilling. It's pretty much a park, right?
Yeah, it is a park. Yeah,
and then like, you go play some basketball, soccer, whatever. I don't know if there's a basketball court.
No, but you could probably...
Like, just go swimming in the pond. Yeah. Just go swimming in the pond, and they'll be nice and refreshed.
just avoid the sheriffs. Yeah. They kind of frown on
there's a lot of sheriffs around, too. So, but, I mean, you're secured. You know, right. There's no lifeguards, but there's a lot of cops around. So, hopefully, they know how to swim. You know, if you don't. But well, let's get into artistic zine.
All right.
And so we're like, what inspired the zine?
So artistic, it's A-U-R-T-I-S-T-I-C. So artistic, like you know, art? Artist.
Yeah.
Right? But with autism, right? So A-U. Artistic came about because Melina, who is the editor in chief, she really felt like she wanted to have a space for individuals with autism to be able to express themselves. And her having two young boys who are autistic themselves, she recognizes in them that they're incredibly talented. And so, you know, she had been kind of formulating this idea of doing a zine that's centered around individuals with autism and showcasing their artwork. And so she reached out to me about that. And that's actually, funny enough, how Art Block also got started too. My students who were in the mentorship program wanted to create a zine. And so that's how Art Block came about. So both of our zines, including even Conchas y Café, to a certain degree, came about because other people were asking for it. Artistic is really, like I said, about showcasing the artwork, which includes things like poetry, photography, it's the illustrations, comics, anything that's pretty much print related, that's made by people with autism ages 16 and older. And it's actually open to individuals from all over Southern California. Art Block is open only to LA County artists, but Artistic is open to individuals all over Southern Cali. And that one, the way that it sort of started formulating once Melina approached me about it, it was actually thanks in part to a pretty generous donation that we received that I was able to actually, you know, set aside some money to be able to print it and do some of the other back end stuff, like, you know, adding pages to our website and you know, our submission form and stuff like that.
So, like, does the people that are submitting the artwork or, I mean, the, mm-hmm. Poetry or whatever they're writing themselves of, do you have to have autism in order to be published it, or
Artistic is for individuals with autism, but it also is for people who have a family member who is autistic as well. So it's definitely about showcasing the artwork that's created by individuals with autism. But Melina and our associate editor, Tanya, who also has a child with autism, they really wanted to also give a voice to the people, the caretakers of individuals with autism too, because a lot of times they're forgotten. You know, it's not necessarily that their voice is any stronger or different, but it is a way to show the full, I want to call it like the full spectrum, you know, of what it means to be a person with autism, you know, and to care for a person with autism. It's kind of like even with like the Conchas y Café program, you know, adults are often forgotten, you know, especially people around my age, like in our 30s and 40s, you know, programs are rarely ever directed towards us. And so, you know, when we have a program like that, people are going to want it, and they're going to actually take advantage and express themselves in a way that only they can do. So artistic, that zine, it's definitely trying to achieve that. It's trying to give us, the whole community, a better sense of what it's like to be a part of that community. You know, the autism community is a very diverse community, and it's full of a lot of different voices that are oftentimes forgotten or neglected.
So, like, how are you taking these publications? Is it online or, like, email? Yeah. I mean, obviously, email.
Yeah. For Art Block and Artistic, both of those zines, the submission forms are on our website. So you just go to dstlarts.org, distilarts.org, and then you can find the submission pages through the menu on our website. And then after that, people are, you know, they just simply email us the work after they fill out the submission form. We take, like I said earlier, poetry, photography, comics, short stories, and illustrations, like standalone illustrations. And if anybody needs help actually scanning anything or you know, somehow digitizing their artwork, our mobile art lab is available to them if they come to one of our workshops, whether that be the Art Block Zine workshop or the Conchas y Café workshops, even the artist residency workshops. If they just find us at one of our programs, and you know, the mobile art lab is available to them for scanning and printing.
That's awesome. I mean, also you can go to Staples, guys.
True.
But I guess if you don't have the funding,
yeah.
I understand.
And you know, all of our programs are free.
Yeah.
So
I mean, was like, how long did you know you want to do a nonprofit? Like, I mean, you mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, I would say I was like maybe about 23, 24 years old. You know, I had been working since I was 18 years old in the nonprofit sector as a tutor.
Yeah.
And then when I graduated from college at the age of 21, right away when one of the nonprofits that I used to work for found out that I had graduated, immediately they were like, "Yo, we want you to be the program director for a work readiness program that we're starting." And I, at the time, was gonna take a year off, just work a little bit part-time and try to save some money to go back to school. But they, you know, they were convincing enough,
right? Yeah.
So for 3 years, I worked as the director of a work readiness program for youth ages 16 to 21. And during that time, I was teaching resume writing and interviewing skills and basically all of the things that kids need to learn to be able to get a job or start a career. And I remember enjoying it, but always feeling like, you know, me as an artist, I want to nurture young artists in the same way. And so when I was like about 23 years old, my second year into being the program director of that program, I started incorporating poetry workshops into that and teaching poetry and trying to encourage my students that I had at the time to really think about submitting to contests and trying to get published, because basically it's what I was doing, you know. So I was like, "Yo, come with me," like I'm it's kind of gonna sound corny, but it's like I'm gonna take the hood with me, you know. And I wanted to really encourage individuals who are creative to really think of it as a career. And so that's when the sort of the idea around a nonprofit, an arts-based nonprofit, started forming. And by the time I was 25, when I moved here to LA, I was like, this is what I want. This is my goal for the next half of my life. And look, here we are now.
So, I mean, I want now, like, kind of in a personal level, like, what help, like, what pushes you? Like, what keeps you motivated to keep on going? Because, you know, it's hard, you know, yeah. like doing something like this yeah. and like day in, day out, it gets, yeah. you know, it gets a toll of you sometimes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's days where I definitely battle burnout. You know? I mean, I'm probably working like about 12 hours out of the day doing everything that needs to be done for Distill Arts, you know, whether that be lesson planning and making copies or translating poems for my workshops or grant writing. You know, like right now I'm in the middle of writing two very large grants that are going to be really going to have an impact on our organization. And I have help from my board of directors, and I have volunteers and people who do help me in teaching some of the workshops, and I'm really grateful for that. And I think for me, what motivates me is them, you know, my participants, people like Jeremy, man. Jeremy, I've told him before, you know, but Jeremy's an incredibly talented writer, and I really believe in his work, just like I believe in the work of all of the other people that are part of my programs. And they are the ones that really do keep me going. And I call them my arts fam for a reason, because for me, they've really become the family that I don't have, you know, here in LA and just in general. You know, my family still to this day kind of is like, what do you do? Like, they don't understand that I run a nonprofit, and they don't understand that I'm a poet and that I do get paid for writing poetry,
yeah.
you know, and I do get paid for selling artwork and photography and things like that I do. You yeah. know?
That's weird though. Like, people don't understand that this is a business. Like, art yeah. is a business. It like is. You can actually make decent money. You know? I mean, you can live off of,
yeah.
and then like, for some people it's like, they think doctor, like mm-hmm. architect, but yeah. not those careers are not for everybody.
No, they're not, you know, and especially here in LA, you know, one out of five jobs is part of what we call the creative economy. That means one out of five people in living in LA County and Orange County combined, we are basically creating artwork, whether that be for ourselves or for other people, but we're working within that industry, helping people create art, and communicating things that maybe would not be communicated otherwise, you know, because art is ultimately that. It's us communicating back to ourselves something that is valuable about humanity, something that could change and shape our culture. And, you know, as cultural ambassadors, cultural creators, like, you know, people need to really reflect on that and understand that it is a career.
Yeah.
You know, especially I think our community, you know, communities of color like mine, you know, we don't always get that support growing up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Like, I mean, hopefully you guys are listening and take advantage of this. You know, it's a pretty much free program that, I mean, if you want to pursue writing, I mean, they'll give you the tools and they'll guide you. And, I mean, he went to school for this, guys. You know, Jeremy's over here, living proof that, you know, like, this program actually puts out, like, talent out there. I mean, Melina, you guys know I've had her twice already, you know. Today, I mean, unfortunately, she was sick. She wasn't able to make it, but it would have been her third appearance on the show. Nobody's ever done that, and you know. But I mean, hopefully, she's doing well. But like I said, I mean, these are proof. Like, I mean, you guys read her comic books. You guys seen her stuff, Denise. Like, she's also like mentee. Also, like, you guys saw her artwork. Pretty soon, you guys are gonna see something that she did for the show. But that's gonna be towards July. So I mean, I'm giving you guys away in advance, like, something to look out for. But I mean, this program's putting out talented people out there. It's giving them the tools to succeed. And if you guys are, I mean, if this is something that you guys have been wanting to pursue, maybe you guys were writing, you know, in high school, or for some reason you guys had to stop, I mean, this is a perfect opportunity to pick it up again, you know.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell people where they could find you, like your social media? Maybe you could give them a little, like, dates, where when to expect, yeah, like the, all these zines, the artistic, yeah, the block, all this good stuff. Yeah.
So we'll start off with artistic zine. Currently does have an open call for submissions, and the deadline for submitting for the first issue, the inaugural issue, is February 1st. So y'all have the rest of this month to, you know, scan your artwork or submit some writing or whatever it is to that particular zine, and Melina and Tanya will review your work, give you some you know, advance notice if your work is going to appear in the zine. Then the actual publication of it will happen approximately a month later in March. Art Block, Jeremy and Angie, our editor-in-chief for Art Block, they're currently also accepting submissions for the next issue. The next issue that we just closed submissions for, that one is going to come out at the end of this month, so around January 31st is when we'll be announcing the new issue of Art Block out in the world.
And how can people get these?
People will be able to get them at the next zine fests as well as on our website. Having some issues right now with the payment part of the website, but you know, people can still hit us up. They can send us an email and we can ship them out a copy of any of the zines that we produce. Then there's the Conchas y Café zine, and that one in particular, it's we actually just this week started the new publishing cycle for it. It's a creative writing class, so with that one, people come to the class, they do homework assignments, and they get feedback on their writing, and then at about like week 6-7 is when I collect the work from the participants, and then they are published in a zine. Those classes, the Conchas y Café classes, are offered on a weekly basis, beginning on Mondays at the Baldwin Hills Branch Library from 12:30 to 2 p.m., and then on Monday nights at the Vernon Branch Library in South Central at 6 p.m. from 6 to 7:30 p.m., and then on Tuesday nights here at the East LA Library from 6 to 7:30 p.m. as well.
And are you in charge of all that? Like, are you the one that's there?
Yeah, I'm the one that's there.
Wow,
I'm the one
that's teaching all these classes.
Yeah, well, you know, the Mobile Art Lab is a very trusty vehicle, and it definitely gets me from each branch.
Well, I mean, hopefully you guys come and pitch in. It's a non-profit.
Yeah.
Those are able to, I mean, donations are always welcome.
Donations always welcome.
I mean, yes. At least for his soda, for like, you know, I mean, God, guys, don't be selfish. I mean, he's trying to do something. Like, I mean, just for like listening to this episode, you should donate $1. All right.
$1, believe me, man, $1 goes a really long way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Trust me. Yeah. I know. Like, especially those days where like you don't have gas,
yeah,
and you need gas, $1 gets you pretty far, you know. Yeah. Especially my little hoopty, you know, I fill up with $20 and I'm good for a whole week. So
yeah, that's actually pretty good. Yeah. Man. That's really good. $20.
All right. So,
And then additionally, our Art Block zine workshops. Those workshops are on a monthly basis at the three different libraries that I mentioned earlier. Beginning with the first Thursday of every month at 4 p.m. at the Arroyo Seco Branch Library in Highland Park. And then the second Thursday of every month at the Vernon Branch Library in South Central. Those are usually at 3:30 p.m. Sometimes they're at 5 p.m. just depending on scheduling of other programs at that branch. And then on the third Thursday of every month at the Baldwin Hills Branch Library at 4 p.m. as well.
But all this info is also available on your website, right?
Yeah, our website has most of the information. I try to keep it as updated as possible. And definitely follow us on social media. That's really going to be the best place to catch all of the upcoming workshops and stuff. And it's real simple. It's at DSTLARTS, at Distill Arts. And that's pretty much for everything from Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And then Artistic Zine has its own Instagram. That's at ARTISTIC Zine. And that's on Facebook as well. And then Art Block has its own Instagram handle as well. And that's at Art Block Zine.
And like, for submissions, like, can they submit through Instagram or Facebook? Or?
There's a possibility to do that, yeah. It's a little bit more challenging in terms of logistics, but it's easiest to just go to our website at dstlarts.org.
All right. So, Jeremy, this is the time for you to shine. Tell us where they can find you.
Where they can find me?
I mean, obviously not. Like your social medias or whatever.
Oh, social media?
I mean, if you don't have to, if you don't want people to follow you, that's just... You already mentioned the Art Block, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, aside from Art Block, I do have, like, my personal Instagram. It's just at _ Jeremy Arias. Right. And, well, my account's not blocked or anything. It's there. I do upload some of my artwork. I was actually just looking at it earlier. I realized I have some paintings up there, too, and some of them have captions with, like, stories. I used to have, like, a side Instagram for stories, drawings, and pretty much art, but I stopped using that one a while ago. I just keep stuff on my personal one now. Just my two in man. One.
You gotta put that out there. You gotta shine. You gotta put out whatever are you do me. Like, I'm not good at this, and I'm still putting in work.
Yeah.
All right. I'm alright. I'm decent.
It's good. It's good. It's
I get by my personality. So
personality goes a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that it. Like, and do you want to promote your workplace? I don't know.
My workplace?
Yeah, I'm just playing. Don't do that.
We'll keep it to Distill Arts for now.
All right. Well, was that it? I mean, are you good with like with the info we put out there, or is there anything I might have missed?
Yeah, no, I think that we've been pretty thorough. And I guess, you know, if I'm gonna be putting out all of the other social media stuff,
Put out your own.
Yeah, my own personal one. It's at @stimeyluv1 at stimeylove1. That's my personal stuff. And there you can actually find some of my photography, poetry. I've been posting a lot of selfies lately.
That's good, man.
Yeah, you know,
let people trying to get familiarized with who you are.
Yeah, yeah. Get to know the man behind the mask, right? Yeah,
there you go. Every good side. Every side is my good side. So no matter what angle you take the picture at, it's always going to come out good.
Angles. Yeah. You know, and like as an individual artist and poet, you know, I actually do take poetry commissions. So, you know, anybody looking, especially right now, Valentine's Day coming up, you're looking to serve a loved one a nice little personalized poem, y'all can hit me up on my Instagram as well as on my Twitter too. It's same handle, @stimeyluv1. All right. Stymie Love One.
And all this info is also going to be in the description. I just like to make them work for it. So, all right, well, you know what I mean? You're good though, right? With everything, all the info we got.
Yeah.
All right, man. All right, so before we end it, I like to play a game called Sevens. So I already told you guys a little bit about it, but just a little refresher. Sevens is a word association game. It's kind of like, I don't know if you heard of pyramid. It's like heads up, but I look at my phone. So I mean, usually like I do this with one person, but since it's two of you, you guys always give like groups of people, always give them the option. It could be one person, or it could be as a team. So you guys decide however you guys want to do it. As a team, how it works is whichever score you guys get, that's gonna be for both of you. So for this last year, like, there was a tie for the high score, so for like in that instance they shared the prize. So I made some socks, and they each one got a sock,
a single sock.
So there you go. So for this year, I don't know what's gonna be. It might be a sock, and like it could be like Dragon Ball Z when you guys put the socks together, turn into one super one. But
I'll give you the left one.
So I mean, you guys good. Like, what if I choose to do that again? You guys decide what you guys are gonna do with that sock, all right? So I mean, for like anybody that does
make,
not know,
I'm gonna make a let me know podcast sock puppet.
Even if you sock there you go. I mean, you can even like get another black sock and draw all over it, and so it kind of look alike. Or you got that mobile scanner, that mobile workshop. Scan it out of paper, and there you go.
Paper sock.
Thing. Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, for anybody that does not know what Sevens is, it's like I mentioned, a word association game where they choose a category and they gotta guess what I'm looking at, basically. So it's called Sevens because it's seven questions, and that you guys have 7 seconds to answer each question. So the highest possible score you could get is 49, but because every point is every second is a point, the longer you take, the less points you'll get. All right, so the categories are general, movies, TV shows, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, the corresponding music. Stand-up, superhero, movie action, movie comedy, movie rom-com, movie award winners, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey.
What do you think?
So
I think it's superheroes.
A little clue, make sure it's something that I'm gonna be good at, because since I'm giving you guys a clue, it actually depends how good I do also. So it's you guys no knowledge of who I am, you guys gotta assume that I'm good at something. So I mean, you guys want to do superheroes, right?
Yeah.
All right. I'm not good at superheroes, so
we'll make this work, man.
That's on you guys. All right, but I'm decent. It's a guy that looks like a rock. She's invisible. He stretches.
The Fantastic Four.
And, He's the butler of Batman.
Alfred. Alfred, yeah.
He has a skull in the middle of his chest. She like she goes like this, and like bullets rip, like off her Wonder wrist. Woman. I am Blaine. He's a plant.
Groot.
Superman's like love.
Lois Lane.
Like this is like he wears this red thing. It's from X-Men. He's like super strong, Juggernaut? Big. You guys did pretty well. 24. You guys actually are tied. Right now for the high score. That's damn, hopefully I don't... Hopefully, please don't let this be a three-way tie this year, because what am I going to do with the extra sock? I'm going to keep it. Okay, but, I mean, this is pretty much the first one, is so you guys could get a little acclimated with how the working, how the game works.
Right, right.
So you guys are going to get a second chance. You guys could beat the high score that you guys pretty much tied with. So you guys got to get 25, and you guys are going to be lucky enough to share a sock, a liminal sock.
Okay.
All right, so, I mean, do you guys want to change the category, the same category?
I think we should stick with that.
Same.
All right, you guys just want to double down, I guess. You guys pushing your luck a little bit there, but we'll see. All right, this is our last one, final. All right. I think this is Daredevil. He has, like, a circle on his forehead. Like Ryan Reynolds played him for DC.
Deadpool? Green Lantern.
This is what Superman can't be around because he gets weak.
Kryptonite.
This is Thor's brother.
Loki.
It's the female version of Hulk.
She-Hulk.
He is the villain of the Fantastic Four.
Doctor Doom.
Okay. This is Spider-Man's villain.
Venom?
Oh, hopefully at 27. Damn, 27. Well, hopefully. I mean, last year 32 was in the person that got the high score was in February, and he lasted all the way to December. So we'll see. Hope you guys have the same luck, but I don't know what you guys are gonna do.
We set a tone with 27.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard. It's pretty hard. I mean, you guys did really well compared to like. I've gotten zero at times. Some other kids got zero. It actually depends on the category you choose. Yeah. It's very important. And you guys got lucky. I need most of these. You guys got very lucky.
I mean, pop culture. You know, you can't go wrong with pop culture.
Yeah, I mean, I like cartoons and stuff. So. Yeah,
same, dude. Same.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know what? We're just going to wrap it up. But before I go, I just want to mention where you can find me. So, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook. Just look up Let Me Know Pod. Also, I have an email at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. There you can send critiques, you can send praises, you can do whatever you want, but as long as I'm hearing from you guys, that's what I want to hear. Remember, go leave a review on iTunes, 5 stars, and leave some words. Make me feel good about myself. Tell me that I'm doing a good job, because I've been depressed lately, because I don't know, I've been in my feels lately. So anyway,
you're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you. I'm doing a good job. Get that little clip and just play it over and over. So,
with that sultry voice right there.
Yeah, there you go. Like, it sounds like I got marshmallows in my mouth all day, every day. Alright, so make sure you go on iTunes, leave a review. That way, it's very important. That way, other people can find me. And I mean, if you recommend me, they'll actually believe you and not me, because I don't think I'm doing this. And of course, I'm gonna say I'm doing a good job. Also, I have merch. I have hats. I have stickers. If you guys want a free sticker, send me an email or send me a DM on Instagram or Facebook, and you can get my hats at Synesthesia Boutique, or you can just send me a message. I have hats and shirts. I also have a Patreon page where there's different levels. Look at that, and maybe you're able, if you pick the sevens category, you are able to set the high score and maybe beat theirs, and maybe you're the one that might get the socks or whatever I choose to do. Maybe you'll be a shirt and you guys gotta tear apart. One person gets the sleeve, the other person gets the middle part.
You can have it on weekends.
There you go. I didn't think of that. You guys, all right, whatever. It's none of my business. Maybe the Let Me Know underwear next year.
Oh no, see
about that one.
All right, well, you know what, I think I'm gonna wrap it up, but before I go, I just want to thank you guys for letting me part your day. Alright guys, till next time, I'll see ya. Bye.
This song has been brought to you by Let Me Know Podcast. New episode every week, available on all streaming platforms.